Dear God, we come this morning standing united as a church, as your church, here to worship and lift up your name. Lord, we pray for every person under the sound of my voice as we reason together your words, the word that you've given us to bring life and to bring hope. Help us to catch hold to that word. Help us to plant it in our hearts, Lord, like a seed in good soil, that it might grow and that we be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. Bless us this morning that we not just hear your word, but that we become doers of your word. In Jesus' name, let the whole church say, amen. Let's give worship a hand this morning. Let's give God a hand. I read a story about a man that was talking to God. The man asked God, "What's a million years to you?" And God said, "That's but a minute." Then the man asked God, "What's $1 million to you?" And God said, "It's just a penny." Then the man looked at God and said, "Can I have a penny?" And God said, "Sure, 1 minute." As you know, this morning, maybe you're a visitor and you don't know, we have been in a series the last several Sundays titled Get in the Game. This is the last Sunday of the series Get in the Game. On next Sunday, we'll be starting a new series, and it will be called Interviews with Biblical Characters. Starting on next Sunday, we will be interviewing people from the Bible. Pastor Ryan and I will be talking to people like David and Peter, and they're going to tell their story, and we're going to interview them for you. I hope to tell you prior to the Sunday which person that we're going to talk about, so during the week you can read about that biblical character, so when we interview him, you would understand what we're talking about. Amen? Just in review, as we're closing this series, for those of you that may have missed a Sunday, let's go through real quick. The first Sunday of this series, we talked about spectators and participators. The second Sunday of the series, we talked about, Pastor Ryan came, and he talked about training to get in the game. And then we talked about the game of life. On last Sunday, we talked about the winning team. This morning, I want to talk to you from the topic, the game changer. The game changer. There's several definitions of the term game changer. One says a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. Another, a game changer, is one who steps up and makes a big play that affects the outcome of the game. A game changer could be a play at an important moment in a game that results in victory. Or a game changer is a person who dramatically changes the course, the strategy, or character of something. They change an existing situation or activity in a significant way. Then I found another definition in Webster. Webster says that it is to transform the accepted rules, processes and management of something. A game changer. Now I'm sure that if you watch any sports events, or perhaps you played in some type of sport, I'm sure you have witnessed a team that is losing a game, only a few seconds left in the game, and somehow someone on the team does something incredible that changes the game. Have you ever witnessed that? A team is losing and it's 2 minutes left in the game, and they pass the ball to Shaquille O'Neal. And somewhere, somehow, he shoots the ball as the buzzer rings, and they win the game. People, that is a game changer. Life is full of countless decisions. Most are minor decisions. Like, what should I wear? Should I wear my sundress or blue jeans? What do I want to eat for breakfast this morning? Do I want cereal or cold pizza? Should I buy a convertible or an SUV? Scattered between all of those little decisions are the big ones, the game-changing decisions that literally determine the course of your life. They're decisions like, where am I going to go to college? Is this guy the right guy for me? Or is this girl the right girl for me? Should I buy a house or rent a condo? I've talked to a lot of incarcerated people in my line of work. And I discovered that a lot of times it is one decision that changes a game negatively to where they end up where they are. Yes, there's a lot of career criminals, but there is those that are trying to make it on the right path, but one bad decision changes the game. And then there's the most important decision that you will ever make. That decision is, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Secondly, if you choose to follow him, what kind of follower will you be? Will you be a spectator or a participator? Will you train to get in the game of life? Or will you just be on the winning team? We today need a game change. In our minds as a church or as a body of believers, a lot of times we shrink Jesus to the size where he can save our souls, but we don't believe that he can change the world. But I want you to know today that the game has changed. We as believers should be asking Jesus to change our church, change our families, and change our city. Do you not realize that this is what Jesus set out to do in the first place? Jesus' mission was described like this in Luke 4, 16 through 21. Listen, it says he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue. Which was his custom. He stood up and read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. Listen to what he read. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, and recovery of the sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year
of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Jesus dropped the mic. It says the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." At that point, Jesus changed the game. Listen, one of the most familiar names in the New Testament, other than Jesus, is Nicodemus. Nicodemus was somebody rather special in the Jewish society. He was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was a man of the law. That's what it meant to be a Pharisee. His sole purpose was to serve God by observation and dedication to the legalistic guidelines of the law. The chosen people lived by the Masonic law. But that wasn't good enough for the Pharisees. They sought to be perfectionist in the legalistic worship of God. They went by the rules. They had certain things they had to follow. And then comes along Jesus, changing the game. He preaches that love, not law, is how God keeps score. Forgiveness, not retribution, is his passion. And for God's people, from now on, things are going to be different. I can remember not long ago, I was on a ride on my Harley Davidson, and I was going to San Francisco, my favorite city. I got up to the toll of the bridge. I took out my money, but the person at the booth was waving me through. I didn't know what was going on, so I still tried to hand the money to the man. And the man said to me that the car in front of you paid your toll for you. And the man said, "You are free to pass. Go ahead with your journey. Go ahead to the city." And I want you to know the same is true with Jesus. He went before us and paid the toll, so you and I can pass through and continue moving to the city. Yes. Jesus really did pay it all, people. Not some, not a portional payment. But Jesus paid it all. That was the game changer. Jesus made one sacrifice. Listen, in the Old Testament, there was continual slaughter of animals for sin. We still do that today, but we call it barbecue. Those sacrifices only covered what sin that had already been committed. Jesus made only one sacrifice, but it was completely acceptable to God. Listen, Hebrews 10 and 10 says, "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." Somebody say "once and for all." Oh, you need to believe that. You need to understand that. Once and for all, that sacrifice was all that needed to be done. No more burning sheep and goats, and no more sacrifice. Jesus changed the game by giving the only sacrifice worthy. Oh, don't you know today that Mary had a little lamb? His fleece was white as snow. And he came and died and paid the sacrifice for you and I. And he changed the game. The sacrifice that Jesus made covered sins in the past and in the future. Hebrews 10 and 14 says, "For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Listen, forever is a long time. Actually, forever has no end. Our sins are forgiven. We do not have to continually try to get forgiveness. Hebrews 10 and 18 says, and where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. I read a story about a man who had been a member of a church that he attended for years. At that church, he had a mentor that had actually led him to Christ. He looked up to this man and admired this man. This man passed away and was on his way to heaven. And before he could enter into heaven, he had to climb a long flight of stairs. As he started to go up the stairs, he was given a piece of chalk and told that he must put a chalk mark on each step of the stairs for each sin he had committed in life. When he was about halfway up the stairs, he met his mentor, who had passed away before him, coming down the stairs. When his mentor got to where he was, he stopped him and asked him, "Why are you going down the stairs away from heaven?" And he said to him, "I'm going back to get some more chalk." Aren't you glad that that's not the way it is? Aren't you glad that that's not the case? If it were the case, I would need a whole case of chalk. But thank God that's not the case. Hebrews 2, 9 through 10 says, listen, but we see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death. Listen, so that grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. And bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make to be made the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Isn't that wonderful today that Jesus tastes death so you and I won't have to? Yes, we're going to sleep one day, but thank God Almighty, we're going to get up. Thank God Almighty, because he changed the game, we have heaven to look forward to. Back to Nicodemus. The first thing, if you know the story, you notice that when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he came to Jesus at night. The reason why is because he didn't want anybody to see him talking to Jesus. He was worried because he was a religious person. He was worried that people would talk about him or hurt him because he was talking to Jesus. That's strange to me, because if you're religious, who else can you talk to? If you're a person of God, you talk to your Father. But Nicodemus was worried. He came to God by night. And he said to him, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus said to him that you must be born again. That is the answer to the question. Not all of the legalistic mumbo jumbo that people talk about. You just must be born again. You must accept Christ in your life. And then Jesus answered Nicodemus in John 3, 5 through 8. Listen to what he said. He said, "Verily, truly, or very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit." You should not be surprised, Nicodemus, by this saying. You must be born again. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Now, in the conversation, as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he gives Nicodemus one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible. You all know it by heart. It's John 3 and 16. He said, Nicodemus, listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so whosoever believed in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, no single other scripture has led more people to salvation. John 3:16, people, is a game changer. It has also been called the gospel in a nutshell. It's a love letter from God that was written in blood and addressed to all people. Listen, John 3:16 is brief enough to write on a napkin or to memorize in a moment, yet solid enough to weather 2,000 years of storms and questions. Yes, you can remember it in a minute, but it can save you for a lifetime. That is a game changer. Listen, if you know nothing about the Bible, start at John 3:16. And if you know everything about the Bible, return to John 3:16. We all need to be reminded that John 3:16 is the heart of the gospel, straight from the heart of God. God so loved the world. God wants to touch your life with his love. God wants to transform your life with his love and his will if you believe what he says. Listen, when I was a kid in church, we used to sing a song. Now, the lyrics of this song seem so childlike, but at the same time, profound. The song said, Jesus loves the little children. All of the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the children of the world. Listen, church, Jesus loves the little children, and he loves the big ones too. God loves this world. That means that God loves the youngest to the oldest. And he didn't start loving little babies when they were born. The Bible lets us know that God loved us when we were yet in our mother's womb. Or as my dad used to say, God loves you before you were a twinkle in your mother's eyes. God loves you even before the foundation of the world. That means, church, that God is not in love with religion. It does not matter what your religion is or how you practice religion. God is not in love with religion, but he is in love with people. God loves the best Christian that you've ever known, but he also loves the worst sinner that you've ever known. God so loved the world. That's why one of the most amazing truths in the Word of God is found in Romans 5:6. It says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the worst of the worst. That is the game changer. That is the scandal of grace. The difference, church, between the Old Testament law under Moses and the New Testament law under Jesus. Listen, the purpose of the law was to reveal our sins, to hold us accountable to God. The New Testament grace, it is all about grace, unmerited favor that we receive from God. You cannot work for salvation. You cannot work to be saved. Nothing you can do. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy, but grace says that it is unmerited favor. God loved me in spite of myself. God loved me in spite of my mess ups. In Galatians 3:24, we are told, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace. You ought to give God a hand praise this morning because he has changed the game. He did it because he loved the world. This means, church, that God loves you and me. That's great because we need God's love and mercy. as much as the worst sinner who ever lived. We can only make it to heaven because God so loved the world. That's the game changer. That's the covenant changer. We're under the new covenant. We're under the blood. We're not under the law, but we're under the blood. We are covered with the blood of Jesus. There's a song that talks about a book. And the book says that all of our sins are listed in this book. And the song talks about Jesus opening the book to judge. But when he looks at the book, he cannot read the sins on the pages of the book, because every word in the book is covered with blood. And the blood covers up every sin. And we are no longer accountable, church. I want you to know that that's the game changer. I want you to know that some of you here today who have not accepted Christ, you're on the field. And it seems like every time you take one step forward, someone throws a red flag and gives you a penalty. And you have to go back. But it's time now to accept Jesus Christ. It's time to throw up a Hail Mary and let somebody catch the ball in the end zone. He will forgive sin and restore fellowship to those hearts that are turned toward him. I want you to understand today that God loves stretches the widest span, and he has given it to us as a great gift. In closing today, I want you to understand that God has changed the game. And if you want your game to change today, if you are the woman or the man today that is tired of playing the game the way you've been playing it, you're tired of life being the way that it's been lived. Now, don't fool yourself. If you are a believer, you're going to have some setbacks in the game. You're going to fumble the ball sometimes. You're going to shoot an air ball. You're going to miss the whole hit. But I want you to know today that the blood of Jesus, even if you miss a shot, the blood of Jesus puts a score on the board. Even if you can't run, the blood of Jesus changed the game. You're on your way to heaven. Your ticket is paid for. Someone has paid your toll already. Go home one day and celebrate with Jesus. That's the game changer. Yes, the game has changed. The game has changed because of Jesus, because of the love and mercy and grace of Jesus. I want you to know today, in closing, that you haven't did anything so bad, so wrong, that God does not love you and not willing to forgive you. His blood covers a multitude of faults. So I say to you today, if you're not a believer, if you come to the point, or maybe you are a believer and you have not been playing the game the way you should, if you come to the point now where you're ready to change the game, you're ready to accept Christ, you're ready to change your life, you're ready to get in the game, or you've been a spectator, you've been on the bench, you've been on the sideline, but you say, I'm ready to get in the game. I'm ready to tell somebody about Christ. I'm ready to be a witness for Jesus. Then today can be your day to make that change. That game change can happen right now. I'm going to ask that you stand to your feet all over the church. If you would just close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to be honest with yourself just for a few minutes. Are you in the game? Have you been playing? Have you been participating? Or are you just a spectator? Have you been honoring God in your giving? Have you been honoring God and serving others? Have you been honoring God and being a Christian on your job, in your home? I don't need to know an answer, but while your eyes are closed, think about it in your own mind. Think about what you can do in this community, what you can do in this city. Just for a moment, meditate on that for a moment. Dear Father, we come here again wanting to do your will as a church, together as a family. Lord, we want to get in the game. We want to get in the game. We want to bring people to you. We want to witness. We want to testify of your goodness. As we stand as a church family, eyes closed, heads bowed, we're asking you, first of all, to forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us for not being in the game. Forgive us for not honoring you with our service. And Lord, from this day forward, Lord, we want to be a game changer in our community. We want to be a game changer in our church. We want to be game changers in the city of Lathrop, Tracy, Manteca, surrounding cities. We want to change things because you have told us to do so. Bless us. Bless our commitment today. Honor our commitment. Let our worship be a sweet aroma in your nostrils. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Come on, give God a big hand praise.